Welcome, everyone. I tell you, all you younger couples have a lot of kids. Younger couples. When you get a little above whatever, don't have the patience anymore. No, no. Children are a blessing from the Lord. They truly are. But praise God, praise God. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you would. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, praise and worship was good. I tell you, you know, there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. Before we go on, we need to pray for something else. First of all, I know you've probably seen our president is overseas. You know, we need to pray for him. Take the time to pray. You know, I've seen some of it, and I tell you, it's amazing. They're rolling out the red carpet for this man. The favor of God is upon this man. Not that, you know, I'm not saying every decision he makes, but as Christians are praying for him and asking God to move and give him favor, it's like he's almost an Esther, you know. He's almost one of those that God has placed to bring back the presence of God, to bring back morality and help for our country. Because, you know, the Lord is coming back, people, and God is going to move in a mighty way to draw people back unto him. You see, that's the most important thing, is your relationship to the Lord. It's not as, you know, all the things that we can acquire, and there's nothing wrong with acquiring things. But you know what? Our relationship to him is the most important thing. And that we need to make sure that we keep that on the forefront of our lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. The children of Israel, God moved upon the children of Israel, and we see in the Old Testament, especially in Exodus, they call it Exodus. You want to know why? And you probably figured that out. Because they came out of a bondage, and God brought them into a new land. Remember, they were in captivity, and that God miraculously brought the 10 plagues, finally got them out of Egypt, and so they were in bondage. And so that's why it's called Exodus, because they came out. God mightily moved things in their direction to get them out of there. And we always got to remember, when God wants to do something, he can do it. All he's looking for is the willing vessel to get the job done, people. That's all he's looking for. To get the job done, and that he can mightily move. Remember, God is not dead. He's alive and well, as we've been singing about. Our God is alive and well, and he's coming back soon. Our God is alive and well, and he wants to use you and I for his benefit in the last days before his coming, to bring people back unto fellowship with him, and to bring people that never knew him before back into fellowship with him, that they would receive him as their Lord and Savior. Here we see God miraculously, as the children of Israel were in bondage for over 200 and something years, that they were there. And they looked and they didn't know what was going on. They just knew that bondage was there, and they had to build all the things for the Egyptians. I mean, they were slaves. They had no rights, zero. They own nothing, zero. But God Almighty had raised up a man to take on the leadership of letting the Spirit of God move. And yes, he made some mistakes. Who hasn't? But you see, we need to always remember, God looks at the heart of a man or a woman. Just as David made a big mistake, but God said that he was a man after his own heart. I mean, to have a man killed, take on his wife and do all kinds of stuff like that. The Spirit of God moved upon Moses to be the leader of these people. And God chose this man, and he brought them out after the last plague of the firstborn son to die. Whoever didn't have the blood of Jesus on the lintel and on the side posts, that as the spirit of death would come, that whoever didn't have the blood applied to their house, they would die. The firstborn sons. And after that, the Egyptians let them loose, and the Spirit of God started moving again. They came to a place where it was the Red Sea. They didn't know where to go. Here Pharaoh was in back of them. Mountains on the side. And that's just like God. And a Red Sea in the front. Let me tell you, that's God when he puts us in a predicament where we can't run in the front, we can't run in the back, and we can't run to either side. And all we can do is look up. Because that's what Moses had to do. He had to point that rod that God had given him out of obedience unto him right when he said to do it. And as he did it, it says the Red Sea parted. And we know that. And all these millions of people walked on dry ground to the other side. And after that, it says, here Pharaoh's army came, or the Egyptian army, Pharaoh's army came. And as they were on that Red Sea, the waters came down and killed every one of them. I just saw a segment not long ago about history. And they were talking about in the Red Sea, they found chariots. I said, I know whose army that was. That was a defeated army. But they saw the hand of God. Through the plagues, they saw the hand of God through the Red Sea. They saw the hand of God as they were walking around and didn't have water to drink. How God told Moses, cut that tree down and let it fall into the water and it will make that water sweet. And he did. That's the mighty hand of God. And we can look. I know probably each and every one of us has seen the hand of God in our lives. Where we didn't know what to do or how to do it, but God Almighty came in and stepped in and showed us the way. Showed us how to get right and do it. Showed us how to be successful in that hard time. That's the hand of God. That's the power of your God. And let me tell you, it says that God's wanting to pour out his spirit upon his church. And upon his people. Like never before. That's the Spirit of God. Trying to move upon a church. Trying to move upon the people. Because you know what? Because of the famous scripture that we know of. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him. Should not perish. But have what? Everlasting life. Now here we get to a place. After all that, it says this. And then he gives them the Ten Commandments in the meantime. And look at verse 18 in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. It says this. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Here we see Moses. All these things that God did through this man. And all of a sudden God gives him, we call it the Ten Commandments. There's many more commandments. But that was the original law of the Ten Commandments. And what's amazing is that God took two stones. And he wrote it with his finger. It's amazing. And we know the Ten Commandments, basically, that's the law that just about all laws are based upon the Judeo-Christian values of stones that God gave unto Moses for the people. But the Spirit of God was moving. They saw the mighty hand of God like never before. I mean, it's amazing to me to read about how you can go to drink water and you take a little bit and it's bitter and you just let a tree fall in it and it makes it sweet. It's not so much the tree, it's obedience. You see, God is looking for us to be obedient and the things that he tells us through his word, to be obedient to the things of God, to be obedient unto him, and to thirst after him, and to hunger for the things of God. See, as Christians, people, this is our guide. This right here. That Bible that's on your lap, the Bible that you have in your home, that is your guide. Consume that word. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know where to start or what to read. Read a little bit in the New Testament. Read Proverbs. One chapter a day. There's 31, so you can read one a day. Go with the date of whatever the date is. Read Psalms, which is really praise and glory and songs unto God. You know what's amazing? We're the only one that has a God that has given us a songbook. Muslims don't have it. You know why? Because their God's not real. We serve God. We serve him. He's given us the book of Psalms, which is praise and glory and honor unto him, and how he wants to be praised and worshiped by his people. Praise God. Because most of them are just songs unto him. Songs unto him. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. I want to get to this point. Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse. Exodus 20. Look at verse 18, starting there. It says this. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Did God say that? No, they saying that. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, and that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was on Mount Sinai. Here we see, look at the last verse. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. You know, people, as we all have a choice as to how much of God we really want. God has given his all unto us. From the very aspect of his son. I mean, he could have held his son back. You know how hard that must have been to know? Because God knew, and Jesus knew, and the Holy Spirit knew. They know what's happening beforehand. The death that he would have to die for our sins. See, we determine how far we want to serve him. We can serve him with a fourth of our heart, if you want to say it that way. We can serve him with a half of our heart, three-fourths of our hearts, or a whole heart. See, it's all determined by him. We can be like the people and say, Moses, you go to the mountain and commune with him and talk with him. And then you tell us what he says. And we'll stay down at the bottom of the mountain. See, we have the choice where we can get with him and praise him and honor him. We can be like the children of Israel and stay down at the mountain. Or we can be like Moses and go up that mountain and commune with our God. You know, we have to remember God is a God that's an intimate God. That he is one that wants to commune with us, that loves us. He loves you with all of his heart, and he wants to speak with you. He wants to help us. He wants us to worship him and praise him and honor him. But yet he wants us to give back what is rightfully due his worship, his praise, his honor unto him. See, we can stay at the bottom of the mountain, or we can take steps up. You know, we can have two people give their hearts to the Lord at the same time, and one will serve him with everything within him and will do what God wants, and the other one will turn They both met with the same God. See, the determination comes from the two people. We have to be determined. We have to have the tenacity. We have to have the heart for God. Because you remember, Jesus is coming. He's coming. And you know, you probably say, oh, Pastor, you keep saying that every Sunday because it's heavy upon my heart because he's coming. Because the Word of God says so. Amen. Like I heard a pastor say this, we need to live like he's coming in 100 years, plan and live. And also we need to live like he's coming today. That means to be ready at all times. Amen. Ready at all times. You might say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Oh, let me tell you, no one's perfect. No, not one. Not one. There was only one perfect man, and that man was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that had no sin nature in him, that walked the face of this earth for 33 and a half years. And because he had no sin, he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And took upon him, as he was nailed to the cross in his hands and feet and a crown of thorns upon his head, he took upon the sins of the world from the past, that present, and the future today for us. That blood paid the price for all humanity. All humanity. See, we have to decide, what do we want to do? How do we want to live? How much do we really want to serve him? People, do we hunger for the Word of God? You know, I heard not just some people, I've heard a few Christians say, well, you know, I just don't, and not here, nobody here, okay. I just, so I don't want anybody thinking, who is it, who, you know, no, nobody here. But they just don't, the Word of God just, you know, I just don't, I almost flipped over. When I hear somebody say something like, I don't know about the Word, I just don't crave it. I just don't read it. I just don't. It's not, you know, something that I desire. I want to go back and ask them, when were you saved? Because if you were saved, you would hunger for the Word. You would want it to get in you. You would want to find out about your Savior and your God. Because how great he is. And here we see Moses saying, okay, and he took up the pinnacle of going up because God had called him to go to Mount Sinai. And let me tell you, a church without a leader or a pastor that's a leader will fall into ruins very quickly. Very, very quickly. As Moses went up to that mountain and he stayed there for many, many days, what was happening at the bottom? They were saying, Moses has been there for so long. Look, we need a God that we can see. We need a God that we can feel. I don't think it was really the God of Israel that brought us out of Egypt. It was another God. And Moses' brother and sister played a point in this and a play in this. And they said, get all the gold that God had richly given them, the God of Israel. And they took all this gold and they put it together. And they melted it down. And what did they make? Oh, golden calf. And they started to worship him. And all of a sudden, you can read it in the scripture. God says, what's that noise at the bottom? Oh, Lord. What are they worshiping? And Moses said, oh my God. And Moses came down and was so mad that he had them take that golden calf, melt it down, throw it in water, and made them drink it. He was so upset. People, a church without a leader and a pastor will go into ruins. A family without a pastor or a church will go into ruins because God has set up the local church there. That doesn't mean it's perfect. No, 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 no. But that just means that God, the way God sets up things, brings protection. The way God sets up things brings the anointing and the presence and the power and the glory of God. We have to follow the pattern of our Savior, no matter if we agree with it or not. Honestly, y'all, everything in here I don't agree with. But just because I don't agree with it doesn't mean I'm right. It means I'm wrong. But we have to follow what the Bible says. And in doing that, the anointing and the presence of God flows into one's heart and one's life. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus 33, verse 17. 33, verse 17. And let me tell you, the more you study and read the Bible, the more you just, you know, and I'm not saying that you have to take an hour a day or 2 hours a day, just, but take some time to read it. And that doesn't mean you have to take an hour by yourself in a closet or a room. But as you're driving, you can pray. As you're doing the exercise, you can pray. You know, as you're doing cleaning around the house, you can pray and intercede and ask God to move. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Acts chapter 2 says, so that prayer language can come forth out of our mouths daily. Daily. That the power of God can move. Because you see, there's so much we can pray in English or French. A lot of people know French, can speak. There's just so much we can pray, huh? I mean, you know, have you gotten in your room and you had your list and you prayed and you looked at the clock, it's only 10 minutes. Oh my God. Okay, what else do I say? Lord, I'm finished. But I tell you what, as you let the Spirit of God and be filled with the Holy Spirit, as it talks about in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, and the Spirit of God comes in and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that prayer language can come out of your mouth. As for speaking in tongues, that's still for today. That's still for today. Still for today. My God. Now, it amazes people because it comes out from here. It's like a well flowing, coming out. Now, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, it's a language, but it's a prayer language that God has given to the church. Everybody has a different one, however you want to. That's only God gives, not man. And as that prayer language flows out, it touches the heart of our God, because you're praying exactly what God wants and the power of His Spirit. But you see, the power of God moved upon Moses. Moses came down and he saw that they were worshiping a golden calf. Don't you think he was disappointed? People, we got to remember, we cannot let anything, nada, nothing, I'd rather anything, come in the way of our relationship with Him. Amen. We gotta do everything possible to keep that relationship clear before Him. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've made some mistakes. Hey, look, let's all get in line, and everybody's made mistakes, huh? It has all happened to everybody. What you do is you ask God to forgive. You ask God to forgive. And it says that He remembers it no more. I mean, it is gone. Now, the effects of these things may linger sometimes of whatever. But we have to allow the Spirit of God to move. We ask forgiveness and we say, Lord, I'm yours. We cannot allow anything to get in the middle. Because I know we live in a fallen world where there are things coming at us as Christians constantly. And we got to make sure that our relationship to Him is of utmost. It's a priority. We got to keep our relationship to Him as a priority. Sometimes I think, you know, and even in, sometimes I think we put it 2, 3, 4, 5 times behind us. People, this world, what's the average age of people? 75, let's say, 75. Women live a little longer, maybe 78, men 75. After that, that's it. But the Spirit in you will live forever. Forever. And so we got to make sure that we keep that spirit man, that where God lives, that we nurture that, that we help that Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God that lives in us, to mature to maturity. That the Spirit of God comes in and helps us, and we don't allow anything. Look, let me tell you, as Christians, we're born again Christians, not just Christians, because anybody can say they're Christian. But let me tell you, there's a difference between a Christian and, let me tell you, a born again Christian. Totally difference. But let me tell you, a born again Christian, which I know probably everyone in here is, you know, have given their heart to the Lord. Let me tell you, as we are doing our daily walk with the Lord daily, and we're doing whatever, and something happens, I don't have to get on the phone and call you and say, okay, now I know this happened to you. You need to repent. That's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job that's in you to say, something's not right. See, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he comes in, and then what you do is you go before God and you say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. How many times have we been doing something and we said the stupidest wrong thing at the wrong time, and we just put our foot in our mouth, and when we walked away, we knew, we said, Lord, oh God, forgive me. And then after you get with God and you ask forgiveness, you go have to go to that person. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But to mend relationships, we have to do it. It's not easy. But that's the Spirit of God loving us so much that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there for us. Another 30 minutes. That's good? Okay. Look, everybody said, oh, I'm hungry. No. Preach. Hey, I got one. That's 30 minutes. Anybody else? No one else. God. Oh, look. An hour. Ooh. No. Look, I want you to turn. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Two more scriptures, and then we'll be closing it up, people. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says this, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by putting on of my hands. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Stir up those gifts, people. God, don't be like the ones that stayed at the bottom of the mountain. Climb up that mountain to be with God. Father, stir up those things. Remember, when you got saved, God put some stuff in you. You're not just flesh and blood. It's the Spirit of God that lives in you. And he wants to stir up those gifts, those talents, those abilities. You know, that's like, you know, when you have a fire going outside, you know, it's about to go out in the embers, and you kind of do something with it, and all of a sudden the flame comes back up. That's what he wants us to do, just keep stirring. Every time you study the Bible and you read it, every time you pray, you're stirring up the gifts that are within you. Every time you say, you talk to somebody about the Lord, man, oh my God, it stirs up something on the inside of you. This week, after work, I sat down and with my supervisor, and I said, do you believe Jesus is coming? He said, you know, I have more faith than a lot of people. I said, well, good. He said, I think he is. He said, do you think? He said, you study the Bible? I said, oh, yeah. I study. He said, you really think he's coming? I said, he's coming. He's coming for us. I said, you got to make sure your heart's right with the Lord. He said, I have faith to believe. I said, great. I mean, it was just, you know, just taking that 5 minutes to sit there and just talk just a little bit to encourage him in his walk with the Lord. I don't know where he goes to church, honestly, you know, but just the Spirit of God, people, the Spirit of God. Let God stir those things on the inside of you. Let God use you. Don't think you just here with no plan at all. That's where depression sets in. when you think that you have no plan, God has a plan for you. God has something for you. God loves you. God wants to take care of you. God wants to work in you. He wants to make you a man of God. And ladies, he wants to make you a woman of God that will stand up bold and take on the things of this world and not let your children or your spouse or anyone in your family split hell wide open, but will claim their souls for the kingdom of God and claim things for you. God is working. God has so much in store for us because he loves us so much. Now, this is the last one. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We're to have the motive to do what God has called us to do. Jesus loves you. You know, it's an amazing thing that Jesus accepts us as we are because he loves us. You know, I hear some people say, as you witnessing to people, well, you know, when I get myself right, and I just tell them, well, if you can get yourself right, Jesus didn't have to come. He wants to take you as wrong as you are now. He wants to take us as messed up as we are. Amen? We're a bunch of messed up people, man. We're all messed up. But with the blood of Jesus, he cleanses our hearts and souls and puts us on the right track. But he takes us as we are, and he says, let me make them into something. 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 Because of the love of the Father for us. You know, it's an amazing thing. It doesn't matter how rich we are, how poor we are. It doesn't matter where we live. Doesn't matter who we know. To God, we're all the same to him. Now, man may put things on different priorities, but God doesn't. And he says this, seek me with all your heart. And what did he say? You'll find me. Seek me and you'll find me. When things get rough, turn to him. When things are going well, turn to him. When you have a lot of money in the bank, turn to him. When you have zero and you don't know where you're going to put your, where you're going to get your next dollar for gas or food, turn to him. When you feel that everyone's with you, turn to him. When you feel that no one's with you and all has forsaken you, turn to him. No matter what, this week, look to him. And I tell you what, he will please and soothe the soul on the inside of us. Amen. Would you please stand?